I'm working on a new album. It's called Songs in the Key of Life. When that album came out, he cleaned up at the Grammys. In every category he got.
Really?
Yeah. But he said, there's one song he's working on, it wasn't finished yet. And that, he said, when he heard the chanting on the street, he thought, that's it, that's what he wants to.
Wow.
that's what was missing. And so...
See, Krishna is hard.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
This song was called Pastime Paradise.
Ooh.
It's a thoughtful song because he was saying, the verse is, he says, there are some people who spend their life living in a pastime paradise. Mm-hmm. And then there are other people who spend their life living in a future paradise.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then he asked the question, tell me, who of them are you? this is the song. And so at the end of the song, that's all. He just repeats the verses again, mm-hmm. but the music is all.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he wants us to chant Hare Krishna in the key.
Oh.
Into that key, in unison.
Oh.
Unison. So all of us.
Uh-huh.
And we nailed it in two takes. You know, he said, he even said, like, you guys are good. You know? Oh, we did it so quick. So in two takes, I said, well, that's what we do. Which, you know? So, and then he said he would come to the temple. So he was going to come on Friday. And we went back to the temple, you know, excited about it. And we just told the authorities, and the word spread all over New York.
Oh.
Everybody knows Stevie Wonder's coming for evening RT on Friday. But on Friday evening, he never came. But the limousine came, and we all thought he came. And his secretary was in there, and she apologized. She said, you know how it is with these celebrities. Everyone's pulling them, come to this party, come to this. You know. He said he really, really wanted to come. But then she gave us an envelope, and she said he sent this as a token of appreciation. And he wanted the names of all of us who were there. And he put all our names on the jacket.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Wow.
You know, we all give our spiritual names, you know, so...
Nice.
It's there.
when we open that song.
When we opened the envelope, there was a check for $5,000.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We thought...
So
not bad.
Oh,
he was happy. He said, not bad. That's a good Sankirtan day. Chanting for...
Cleaned up.
Yeah, cleaned up. Just doing that. It's really nice.
Oh.
So, that happened in 75.
Let's continue.
That happened in 75. And now I'm in the hospital and I don't know at all. And then my daughters show up. And what happened was, one of my daughters is a makeup artist in L.A. And one of her friends, she told her that I was in the hospital. But she'd like to go, but she can't afford to go. And this friend of hers says, didn't you tell me your dad was on a Stevie Wonder record so many years ago? And she said, and the friend said, so why don't you call him? And she said, he doesn't know me. It's true, she wasn't even born yet. You know? So she said, what do you got to lose? So she...
Who suggested?
The friend, a client of my daughter.
Said, call Stevie Wonder?
Call Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
And... see what maybe he might help. So my daughter was like, she said, he doesn't know me. How, I can't call him and ask him. So the client says, look, you got nothing to lose. So my daughter, she had the number. This client had the number because her boyfriend worked for Stevie Wonder. And so she got the number, my daughter called. Stevie Wonder comes to the phone and he asks, who is this? So she just told him, you don't know me, but my dad, who's a Hare Krishna devotee, You sang on your album, Songs in the Key of Life, 1975. And he says, oh, I remember that day clearly.
Wow.
So long ago, from 75. And he remembers.
Yeah,
he said, I remember that day clearly. It was a nice group. Everybody, I had a good time, and, you know.
40 years.
Yeah, 40 years plus.
He remembers 40 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sharp memory. So
sharp.
So he says, so why are you calling me? And she said, well, my dad is in a hospital in Australia, and he's in the ICU, intensive care, you know. And I don't know what's wrong with him, but I'm in anxiety. He said, well, you're going to go down and see him, right? He's asking me, you're going to go and see him, of course, right? And she says, well, I'd like to, but I can't afford to go. And he just said, that's not a problem. I'll buy you a ticket. He just volunteered to buy the ticket.
Oh, bless him.
Before she asked.
And then she said, you do that? Really? She can't believe it that he's offering. And then she said, why would you do that?
Bless her.
Why would you do that? And he said, because I can. Yeah. That was his answer, because I can.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so, a very wealthy man. Actually,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
multi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
So she said, anyway, I really, appreciate your offer, but I don't think I can accept it.
Uh-huh.
And he said, why? She said, well, I'm a twin, and I can't go alone. I'd want to go with my sister.
Yeah.
She's not asking it. And he said, that's not a problem. I'll buy both of you tickets.
Oh.
So they came.
How amazing.
It was generous. They were telling me this story, and I had a hose in my mouth, and I can't respond, and I want to say something. It wasn't until I came out of the hospital
that respond.
I had to pick her brain, find out all the details about it. So
that's amazing.
Wow. And worse, I'm not worse, but he then said, where are you? And she says, I'm in LA. And he said, where's your twin sister? She says, she's in Ohio. I said, well, give your particulars to my secretary, and I'll have you all fly out. He was in New York at the time. Come out to New York. So they went out to New York, and they spent the whole afternoon chatting with him.
Oh.
They had dinner, and then they flew. Amazing. And then they flew to Australia.
Wow.
Gosh.
So I said, the next time I go to LA, I'm gonna have to
go
look him up and thank
him,
because his studio is in LA. That's where we went to the devotees.
Did you write him since or phone?
I have no. I want to go personally. I want to do it in person rather than, something like that.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
It's
just so nice.
But he just did it. And
what a generous act of kindness.
It,
he was so touched by the holy name. He was singing. And now he's doing devotional service to the devotees.
And Srila Prabhupada probably just inspired him to look after his boy,
Something happened. But I was, when I got to the, they kept me overnight. Not even only overnight, when I woke up from blacking out at the receptionist, I didn't wake up for 4 days.
Oh my gosh.
So I didn't know, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just found myself in a hospital bed with tubes and everything, And I wanted to know what's wrong, but nobody was telling me. And I couldn't speak because I had a hose going down my throat, my mouth. And then, eventually they figured out what it was, maybe 2 weeks later. I think if you all were following the updates, at one point they thought I had an infection. But then, they were guessing. By the process of elimination,
doctors are good at that.
They ruled that out, and eventually they asked my son. They told him, "We're going to have to operate, otherwise we're going to lose him." And they were, I was like in an induced coma.
Really?
Yeah.
Because?
They do that in order to get the body function steady, and then they control it.
Then they can control the atmosphere, and they can do what they want to do.
Like for days you were in an induced coma.
Yeah. And they performed this, what do you call it, open heart surgery.
Open heart surgery.
And, but no one knew. I didn't know, and my son and his wife didn't know. And no one was telling us what's wrong. It wasn't until I was leaving the hospital, I was getting discharged.
That's then really weird.
That's when I found out.
That's when you read all the notes.
Not read, I found out.
Oh, gosh.
Because one doctor wanted, he was a young Indian doctor, and he came by the morning before we left, and he said, come and see me on your way out.
Find out what happened.
Then I'll find out what happened. Thank you. And when I went, he said, it's my son and his wife. He said, the doctor said, go down the hall and get an x-ray of your chest. I want to see how it's looking. So we went, and when we came back, he already had the report of it on the computer. So he was looking at it. So when we walked in and we sat down, he said, everything looks brilliant.
No.
I said, brilliant? He said, yeah. And he said, I see no reason why you can't fly. They had told us, the surgeon and them had told us, after being discharged, we probably won't be able to fly back to America for 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We couldn't fly unless we got clearance from the hospital, because it's risky. But this Indian doctor said, I see no reason why you can't go right away if you want to go. Mm-hmm. And then we were like happy, especially my daughter-in-law was like, we'll be home for Christmas. That's a big deal.
Well, how did you feel? How did you feel physically?
I was glad to get out of the hospital for
sure. You had strength to fly?
Yeah. I was weak. I couldn't, I had to walk around.
No,
not a wheelchair, with a walker.
Okay.
Like to walk from here to there, I think it's a walker. But then the doctor said, there's something else I want to tell you. And I said, what? He says, I came to see you the morning after you had checked into the hospital. Mm-hmm. At 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, but you won't remember because you were out of it. Mm-hmm. I say, yeah, they told me I had blacked out for 4 days. Mm-hmm. That much I knew. So I said, so what did you see when you came to see me? He said, one of the other surgeons had asked him to come and take a look at this patient because they didn't know what was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I was blacked out. Mm-hmm. I was unconscious. So I said, so what did you find out when you examined me? He said, when I examined you, I realized your lungs was filling up with blood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And it was so full, he said, I gave you less than 2 minutes to live.
Really?
Oh, my God.
He said, no one knew. I didn't even, he said, no, none of the other surgeons knew this. I didn't even tell them. But I said, and what did you do? Because you say 2 minutes, I'm still here, And he said, Krishna inspired him, I guess. He just had to think quickly.
Yeah.
And he punctured
a hole
in the side and put a hose into the lung and drained the blood. And that stabilized me. And then he
saved your life.
Yeah. And then he turned me over, told the other surgeons who were going to work on me. And that was the only interaction. He was just there for that. He didn't do anything else. And he just told him, he's okay now. So then they took me up to the ICU. But it took for them a while to figure out why my lung was filling up was because the mitral valve, that had burst. separated from the heart. Mm. And that was,
just was pumping,
you know, just gushing blood into the lung. That's why I couldn't breathe. So I told him, yeah,
And how could it take, if that doctor knew, why didn't anyone else know?
I don't know.
Let's continue while we've got it in front of us.